Jack Armstrong,
the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Say, did you ever look at a list of foods recommended for the training diet of champion athletes? Well, I can tell you one thing. Most of those training diets your favorite athletes follow are pretty sure to include that nourishing basic cereal grain of ours, whole wheat. Wheaties are made of whole wheat, you know. Yes, those tasty Wheaties flakes are real 100% whole wheat, brimming with the kind of nourishment an athlete can use every morning. Now, I'm telling you this because I've just discovered a mighty surprising fact. Listen, do you know that Wheaties give you lots more valuable bodybuilding nourishment than you may get from other foods made of whole wheat? It's true. Other so-called whole wheat foods may give you only a part of the good nourishment you get from Wheaties. Yes, Wheaties are extra nourishing. Be sure and remember that. Wheaties are extra nourishing. Those toasted flakes with a champion flavor give you every bit of the important vitamins and minerals found in the original whole wheat grain from which Wheaties are made. Now, I'll bet you're asking how this extra nourishment in Wheaties fits into your own personal training diet. Well, here are the facts, straight from headquarters. Wheaties give you all of whole wheat's essential vitamin B1 for good appetite. Wheaties give you all of whole wheat's vitamin G to help you grow, and all of wheat's phosphorus and calcium for sound bones and teeth, and iron for good red blood. Then, you'll want to remember this. Wheaties are a regular gold mine of that important thing called food energy. It's this important food energy that helps an athlete keep on the go without a letdown. Now, when you know these facts, isn't it easy to see why Wheaties are recommended for an athlete training diet and for your own personal training diet every morning? I'm telling you, you'd better string along with the hundreds of champion athletes who eat Wheaties and like them. Get yourself an orange and blue package of Wheaties right away. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. The two-masted schooner Spindrift is at anchor in San Francisco Bay on the eve of its dangerous voyage to the Philippine Islands and the Sulu Sea. It is going there in search of a yacht which sank on a hidden reef with its precious cargo of uranium. Already the Spindrift is a marked vessel, for yesterday she was visited by a member of a reckless gang which is determined to locate and steal this rare uranium. Uncle Jim is on his way back from town, where he has received something of vital importance. Jack and Billy, still excited over their strange encounter with the schooner's visitor, are waiting impatiently on the dock for Betty while their skiff bobs up and down at the pier. Listen.
Gee, Billy, Betty's taking a long time to get here from the airport.
I'll say, Jack. Maybe she's making the most of one last night ashore in a nice warm house.
She'll be crowded on the Spindrift, all right. Cooped up in that little cabin of hers.
Well, Jack, by the time Uncle Jim and you and I get our stuff stowed away in the main cabin, there won't be much room for us either.
Well, there'll be enough. There's lots of room on deck to stretch our legs.
Yeah, and lots of storage space in the hold. I didn't see how Uncle Jim could possibly take his brand new autogyro along until I saw what a big hole the boat has.
We're going to need every bit of that storage space, Billy. It's not such a long hop to Hawaii, but it's a mighty long stretch from there to the Sulu Sea.
Yeah, and we'll have to have room for that diving equipment we're going to pick up in Manila. No use finding the sunken yacht if we can't get down to her and recover that uranium.
It looks as though we'll need the protection of the U.S. Navy to get that precious stuff back home, Billy.
Jumping Jiminy, yes, Jack. Well, here we haven't even started on the trip yet, and first Blackbeard shows up at Hudson.
And then this strange foreigner with the smooth tongue and the quick pistol shows up on the Spindrift.
What do you suppose he was up to in the first place, Jack?
I don't know. He certainly didn't expect us to drop in on him. And yet I've checked the boat from stem to stern, and I can't figure out what he was doing when we arrived.
Well, you can bet your boots we're going to see some more of him before we shove off. Say, here comes Betty now. Bet you that taxi driver gives her a real scare.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Oh, I thought we were going to drive right off the pier and into the bay.
Someday his brakes won't hold, and he will. I'll pay the driver.
Oh, thanks, Jack.
Give me your bag, Betty. I'll put it in the skiff.
Oh, here. Thanks.
Okay.
Now, tell me what happened yesterday. Uncle Jim said this morning that you'd had a bit of excitement, but he rushed away before I could learn what happened.
Get in the skiff first, Betty, and we'll tell you as we row out. You and Billy sit in the stern seat.
Okay.
Here, Betty, take it easy.
Take my hand. All right.
There you go.
Uncle Jim looked worried, and he wouldn't say much, so I knew something important had happened.
Well, you remember that Billy and I went aboard to see who was visiting the Spindrift and what he was doing.
Yeah.
Well, we made some noise, and he came on deck before we could find out what he was up to.
Oh, Jack, did he act rough?
Not then. He had some crazy story about wanting to buy the boat.
But, Betty, he did the strangest thing. He looked at Jack's hands as though he wanted to bite him off. My hands were in my pockets. And he pulls a jiu-jitsu on me. Gosh, but he was quick. And gets my hands out and looks at him.
Oh, Billy, whatever would he want to do that for?
No, wait a second. Then Uncle Jim comes aboard, and he looks at Uncle Jim's hands the same way.
We finally figured he was looking for a certain ring.
A ring, Jack? Well, why should
he... Uncle Jim had it figured out. Remember that token that the dying sailor said he was sending from Professor Loring?
Yes, of course. But Uncle Jim never got it.
No, not yet. But Uncle Jim figured that this gang knew of that token and were awfully anxious to get hold of it. It must have some terribly important meaning.
But how did Uncle Jim know it was a ring, Jack?
He didn't know. But this strange visitor was obviously looking for a ring. So Uncle Jim figured the token must be a ring of some kind.
Oh, but what happened then? Oh, Jack, watch out. There's a big motorboat coming this way.
She'll miss us. Watch out for a wash and a rocket a bit.
Well, that was fun. But what happened then?
Listen, this is good. Uncle Jim pulled out a slip for registered mail for a Philippine package at the post office. And quick as a flash, the fella pulled a gun on us, took the slip, cut loose our skiff so we couldn't follow him, and rowed back to shore just as fast as he could.
Oh, then he got the package.
Not much he didn't. Uncle Jim was too smart for it. You see, Uncle Jim wanted to find out for sure if this fellow was really part of the gang. So that registered slip was a fake. It was just an old receipt.
Oh, that's too funny.
But it's serious, too, Betty. It shows what we're up against. I never half realized how important that uranium must be.
It's got to be important, Betty. Well, it may mean solving the secret of splitting the atom and capturing that tremendous energy locked up in the atom.
It must be important if someone's going to all this trouble to find out the location of Professor Loring's sunken yacht.
And believe me, Betty, they're not sending out a bunch of thugs to get that information. This chap was educated and a smooth customer and dangerous.
Are you telling me? The way he pulled that jiu-jitsu was certainly something to write home about.
Well, that's what happened, Betty. We thought we'd have our hands full keeping that scrap of chart from him. But now it looks as though we'll have a very special ring to hide, too.
That is, Jack, if that package comes before we leave.
It'll come, Billy. Hey, look, we're almost on the Spindrift.
Oh, Jack, she's a wonderful-looking boat. She looks like a great white bird all ready to take off.
She is a beauty, isn't she? Look at that clean, sharp bow. I'll bet she can cut through the waves.
Oh, Spindrift, that is a good name. Look out, or you'll bump into her.
Here, I'll make fast. Billy, you and Betty climb aboard first.
No, okay. Here you go, Betty. Take my hand now.
Yep. Over. Okay.
Well, there is lots of room on deck. But, Jack, I never saw so much rope in my life.
Not rope, Betty, but line. Remember, most ropes on a ship are called either lines or sheets.
Sheets?
Yeah. The sheets are the ropes that pull in the sails.
Well, I'll learn. Give me time. Oh, look. There's Uncle Jim on the dock. Shall we go back in and get him?
No, he has his own skiff. He's coming out. I wonder what he found out in town, Billy.
Oh, we'll know soon enough. While he's rowing out, let's take Betty below and show her the ship. Here, Betty, we'll show you the main cabin first.
Well, there's lots of room.
Lots of room for a weekend cruise, Betty. But when you figure we've got to have enough supplies on board for several months, the cabin sort of shrinks.
And how? We've got to find room for a chart table and navigating instruments and a little radio desk.
Radio? On a sailboat?
The radio is the most important thing on the boat, Betty. We need it to pick up time signals when we shoot the sun and to get radio bearings on our position and all sorts of things.
Yeah, and we've got a special generator on board just to make electricity for the radio and lights.
Your cabin's up forward, Betty. It's a bit small, but you'll be comfortable. And forward of that is the forecastle for a crew, if any.
We're the only crew. Uncle Jim, Jack, and I.
Well, Billy, do you think I'm a paying passenger?
You can bet you're not. You're the cook.
And will I have you at my mercy? What's that?
That must be Uncle Jim. Let's see what dope he got.
Hello, Uncle Jim. Here, throw me your painter and I'll make fast.
Thanks, Billy.
Okay, got it.
No more strange visitors, I hope.
Not this time, Uncle Jim. Did you find out anything?
Well, I've made arrangements for our supplies.
Oh, you're teasing us, Uncle Jim. You know that's not what Jack was talking about.
Oh, they've told you everything, I see.
You bet we did. Did you find out anything from the police?
No, Billy. Neither the police nor the government agents. No one seems to know anything about the identity of our visitor. I looked over all of the photographs in their files, but whoever he is, he's not on their suspect list.
Oh, but there's something else you haven't told us, Uncle Jim. I can see it in your eyes. They were always laughing when you're hiding something.
Now, Betty, if you don't stop prying into my eyes, I'm going to have to wear blinders.
Oh, but, Uncle Jim, there is something else, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Look at this.
A slip for registered mail.
The token. The token from Professor Loring. Is that it, Uncle Jim?
It might be.
But of course it is. You don't expect any other registered package, do you?
No, Jack, I don't. This package was apparently sent by the Filipino skipper that rescued the sailor. I'm sure it's the token that Professor Loring wanted us to have.
Then why don't we go and get it?
Yeah, why don't we? Gee, Willikins, I want to see what it is that this gang is so anxious to get.
That's just why I didn't rush off to get it, Billy. This gang is so anxious to get their hands on it that I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they had their agents hanging around the main post office waiting for it to arrive.
I believe you're right, Uncle Jim. They'll stop at nothing. And they know us by sight, too. At least one of them does.
Exactly. If we got that package, they'd see us there, follow us, and we might have a bad time before we shook them off.
But how are you going to get it, Uncle Jim?
I figure they'll be looking for us at the main post office. So I've already telephoned the postmaster, and he's going to send it down to that little branch post office near these docks. We can get it there.
That's a good idea. This gang can't have their men planted at every branch office in the city. When'll it be there?
Well, it ought to be there by this time. You and Billy can go ashore any time you wish and get it. Use the car I borrowed from the airport.
Come on, Billy. What are we waiting for?
I'm practically on my way already, Jack.
Oh, I'm coming, too. If it's a ring, it must be just about a magic ring to make that gang go to so much trouble.
You'd better stay here, Betty. We've got a long list of ship supplies to go over, and since you're the cook...
Oh, but Uncle Jim, I do want to see what it is.
You'll see soon enough, Betty. Be a good soldier now and stay aboard and help me.
All right, Uncle Jim. But do hurry, Jack and Billy. I won't be a bit of use to Uncle Jim till you get back.
We'll hurry, Betty. We're just as anxious as you are to see what this is all about. Come on, Billy. Into the skiff.
Say, do you suppose that package really contains a mysterious ring which Professor Loring is sending to Uncle Jim? And why do you suppose that gang is so terrifically anxious to get hold of it? Do you think they'll be smart enough to be waiting for Jack and Billy at the small post office? If they do, there's sure to be an exciting time ahead for those two before they get back to the boat. So listen in, all of you, at the same time tomorrow and see what happens to Billy and to Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Now, I'm leaving the proposition squarely up to you. If it's a real champion athlete's breakfast you want, one that's tops on plenty of football training tables this time of year, be sure to ask for Wheaties. A big bowl full of Wheaties with lots of milk and a glass of fruit juice. Any day and every day in the year, that's your breakfast of champions.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try?
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
The best breakfast food in the land. Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be famous.